Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 27 to 31. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who knows us better than we know ourselves, dear fellow redeemed, even if it's not intentional, we spend a lot of our time speaking about ourselves. Someone will be talking to us, and they'll tell us, "Oh, we went here and we went there," and then we interject and say, "Well, we went here and we went there too." And they'll talk to us about their likes and dislikes, and then we jump in and say what we like and dislike. But how well do we really know ourselves? The renowned philosopher Socrates said that there's no greater gift than to know yourself. It's not really the greatest gift, but there's real value in honestly assessing oneself. But how do we do that? Often, our opinion of ourselves is way off. The Lord says in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Other people many times know us better than we know ourselves. The best way to know yourself is not by looking into a mirror, but by opening your ears. For the one who knows us best, of course, is our God, who created each of us in our mother's womb. And we do well to listen to him tell us in his word what we are and who we are. This morning, we hear another of our Savior's "assuredly, assuredly, verily, verily, I tell you the truth" statements, in which he reveals to both Peter and his disciples that he, Jesus, knew them far better than they knew themselves. "I tell you the truth, you will deny me." Our first point, heed. Listen to his warning. Peter would have done well to do just that. Listen to Jesus' warning. But instead, Peter thought he knew himself so well. He thought he knew himself better than Jesus did. And so we can picture Peter leaving that upper room, chest out, chin up, walking in front of the disciples, probably the first one behind Jesus, walking to Gethsemane. But he had no reason to be confident because his life had just been turned upside down in the last few hours. It began with that foot washing. Remember what happened? Jesus suddenly took off his outer robe, tied a towel around his waist, grabbed a bowl of water, then went around the room and washed each of his disciples' feet. When he came to Peter, he said, "Lord, you will not wash my feet. That's servant's work." When Jesus said, "If I do not wash you, Peter, then you have nothing, no part with me," then Peter came face to face with what we call servant leadership. That is, humility. serving as a leader rather than being served. And then there came the Passover meal, a meal that Peter had probably done from little on. He knew it so well. There's the bitter spices, the unleavened bread, there's the lamb, there's the wine. But then suddenly his world was shaken up when Jesus started talking about a new covenant. And here this bread is his body and this wine is his blood. And he talks about death. But Peter still left that upper room so self-assured and so self-confident. Little did he know the darkness, the spiritual darkness that he was walking into. But he could have. He should have known if he would have listened and heeded his Savior's warning. You know, it kind of all began when Jesus quoted the scriptures, which he did done many, many times before. But this was kind of a strange scripture to give as a post-Passover devotion. Jesus quoted from Zechariah. He said, "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Is that the kind of scripture message to be used at this high festival of the church year, the Old Testament church year? I'm going to be struck down, and you'll all be scattered? Doesn't sound like it. In fact, Peter's insulted by that. And he says something like, "Hold it right there, Jesus. Even if all these others do that, I will not." Peter had just celebrated the Passover. He's confidently saying to Jesus, "Jesus, you don't know me as well as you think. I know myself better. I will never, ever do that." And that's when Jesus jumps in with his "Verily, verily, I tell you the truth, Peter. Today, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times." It's like Peter's got his fingers in his ears saying, "I can't hear you. I don't want to hear you. I can't believe what you're telling me. If I have to die with you, I'll never, never leave you." We all know how sad that story ends. A few hours later, Peter follows Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, goes to the comfort of the warmth of the fire, and then he says, "I don't know this man, Jesus. Not just once, not just twice, but three times. I do not know the man." Most every year, when we hear this lesson about Peter, we think, "Peter, you heard the warning, but you ignored the warning. You fool! Why didn't you listen?" But really, we should be asking ourselves, could this happen to us? How often don't we also puff out our spiritual chests with our chin held high, thinking, "Don't worry, I can handle it. I've got it all under control. Don't worry, I'll be okay. I'm just watching this movie with my girlfriend in the basement of her parents' home, and there's no one else around. Nothing's going to happen. Don't worry, I'm okay. Yeah, it's kind of a sleazy bar, but I'm just going there for a few drinks. Don't worry, I'm just skipping church this week and next Sunday and week after, because we've got so many other important things to do, but I'll come back soon. Don't worry, it's just a computer screen. The images I see on there, that's make-believe. That's fantasy. I'm not going to act on those desires. Don't worry, it's just a friendly wager. It's not a whole lot of money anyhow. Don't worry, it's just flirting. Doesn't mean a thing. Don't worry, I know Jesus will forgive me. He always does. Don't worry, I'm a Christian. I wonder how many don't worries a week, a month, a year later turned into a whole bunch of worry and misery. Because we think we know ourselves so much better than Jesus. We think we're so spiritually strong at times. We grew up with Jesus. We've known him since we were a little child. We'll never fall. We're confirmed. We read our devotions. We come on Sunday mornings. We even come to Lenten services. We go to Christian day school, been to a Christian high school. Don't worry is something we tell our parents, tell our spouse, tell others, and worst of all, tell ourselves. Their Savior is telling us, warning us, therefore that him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. He's calling out to us, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So whether it's because of our Christian pedigree, or that we look at a past and say, well, we overcame other past temptations, it's also easy for us to put our fingers in our ears and not listen to our Savior's warnings, or ignore his warnings, and think, I don't need to hear that warning, Jesus. That's what Peter thought. Or maybe I should rephrase that. That's what Peter, the spokesman of Jesus, thought. That's what Peter, who walked and talked with the Lord, talked. That's what Peter, who walked on the water looking at Jesus, thought. That's what Peter, who confessed Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, thought. But it's that same faithful Peter who entered into that courtyard totally unprepared, not ready at all for the temptations that would come. Jesus is saying in our text this morning, don't be like Peter. Don't miss the warnings that I'm giving to you today. Don't miss Jesus say to you, I tell you the truth, you will deny me. But also, not just heed his warning, but especially hear and listen to his promise. Do you know what the real tragedy was in this whole story of Lesson of Peter? It wasn't just that he didn't listen to Jesus' warning and he fell into that sin of denying him, but he didn't hear Jesus' promise either. Did you catch his promise in our text this morning? Or did you miss it too? If I asked you, those of you who have been in church for a little while, to tell me and summarize this lesson, you'd probably have three things to say. One, Jesus tells his disciples, all will fall away from me. Two, Peter says, no, they may all, but I won't. Three, Jesus says, no, you will. Three times you'll deny me before the rooster crows twice. But you missed something very important. Jesus' words. After he said, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. And after he said, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Before Peter makes his protest, Jesus said, but after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. What a tremendous promise Jesus is giving to them. You'll all be scattered. You'll all fail. You'll all fall away. But don't worry. Even though you'll sin, I'll win. After I'm raised, I'll see you again. What a tremendous comfort Jesus is giving. After his warning to his disciples, he's giving them this assurance, I'm going to die for you and rise again. And that's given just a few short hours before his crucifixion. Brothers and sisters, that's why it's so important for us to hear our Savior's warning, to know that he knows us better than we know ourselves. Because if we close our eyes to our Savior's warnings and don't listen to his warnings, we also close our ears to our Savior's promises. If the Spirit opens our ears to hear his warnings, he also opens our ears to hear his glorious solution to our failings, to our denials, to our betrayals. The victory lies in Jesus. Yes, the good shepherd will be struck. He will be dead. But he won't remain dead. He'll come roaring back to life. And he will assure his disciples that they are forgiven. That's what you and I need to look to Jesus too for. When we fall into sin, we turn to a resurrected, a risen Savior who already paid for our sins and says to us, son, daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins, they're all forgiven you. When we die and stand before our Heavenly Father, clothed in Christ's righteousness, we won't need to introduce ourselves and say, hi, I'm Mark Bernthal. Jesus knows us. Jesus introduces us. Not as the fool who wouldn't listen to his warnings, but as his brothers and sisters who've been washed clean with his shed blood, who now stand before the Heavenly Father, clothed in perfect righteousness, his righteousness. Because of Jesus, our Heavenly Father will not deny us. Because of Jesus, our Heavenly Father cannot disown us, his dear children. In fact, because of Jesus, he already calls us his dear children. When we listen to Jesus' words concerning ourselves, that's when we have the greatest gift. Then we'll truly know ourselves. And we'll truly know then Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Thank the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.